From NPR News in Washington, I'm Paul Brown. Super Tuesday has further solidified Mitt Romney's lead in the Republican presidential contest. He won six states, Massachusetts, Vermont, Virginia, Idaho, Alaska, and Ohio. The Ohio contest turned into an early morning squeaker with Rick Santorum. As NPR's Tamara Keith reports, Romney won by one percentage state in a state widely percentage point, that is, in a state widely considered crucial.
Ohio became the key battleground on Super Tuesday, with the race too close to call until the final votes were tallied, which is fitting since Ohio is widely expected to be a battleground in the general election as well. In part, that's why winning the state was so important to the GOP candidates. In the end, Mitt Romney got 38% of the vote to Rick Santorum's 37. Romney spent a lot of time campaigning in the state, and a lot of money. Between Romney and the super PAC that supports him, an NPR analysis of TV ad spending finds Romney outspent his opponents 4-1. Tamara Keith, NPR News, Columbus.
Newt Gingrich got his only Super Tuesday win in his home state of Georgia. NPR's Kathy Lohr reports the former House Speaker says his campaign is not threatened, and he says he's marching on through the South.
Gingrich says the Washington elites have underestimated him and his campaign since last summer. His daughter Jackie Cushman says the Georgia win gives her father the momentum he needs to continue his race.
We're moving on to Alabama and Mississippi, which are right next door to Georgia, so I think really hold great promise for us. Most importantly, his message of American Energy Plan with a 250 price per gallon is really resonating with people.
Gingrich says he is the one candidate who can effectively debate and beat President Obama, and he hopes to sell that message down south. Kathy Lohr, NPR News, Atlanta.
Ron Paul emerges from the Super Tuesday contest with no wins. He'd hoped for a win in Alaska. UN humanitarian chief Valerie Amos has held talks with Syrian leaders in Damascus today, and she's reported on her way to the devastated city of Homs, bombarded by the government itself. Amos wants unhindered access for aid workers to bring help to civilians. NPR's Peter Kenyon is at a refugee camp for Syrians in Turkey near the Syrian border. He says it is paved, so it's not getting muddy.
More than 11,000 people total in several camps here, and I'm in one of them. And I'm standing near the children's area. You might be able to hear all of the children running around. A school session just got out. Well, it's a very full and busy place, but people are getting a little frustrated by the length of time they're here and the lack of any help, and of course more of them are coming across every day.
And that's NPR's Peter Kenyon. He's at a refugee camp in Turkey near the border with Syria. European stocks have been moving up today. This is NPR News. Apple is unveiling a new gadget today, and the event is generating plenty of buzz among people, including consumers who watch the electronics and computer industries. The question is, what will the device be? Many people expect a new iPad. Apple has dominated the tablet computer market despite many competitors, and it's trying to keep its wide lead. One report says more than 60% of tablets shipped last year were iPads. Only Amazon's Kindles and Samsung tablets have grabbed more than 5% of the market. Motoring groups representing Britain's car drivers and truckers are lobbying Parliament today to protest record-high fuel prices. Larry Miller reports this comes after a gallon of regular unleaded gasoline rose last week to more than $8.30.
The lobbying of lawmakers comes just 2 weeks before the British budget is announced. Duty and sales tax account for around 60% of the gasoline price. The group Fair Fuel UK is organizing the protest that begins with a stop at Downing Street to submit a report that claims a modest cut in fuel duty would create nearly 200,000 new jobs. With it costing more than $125 to fill up the average car, the head of the group argues that families and businesses are being crushed by what he describes as these cruel levels of tax. However, the government is struggling to meet its austerity objectives and is reluctant to cut gasoline taxes. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
Tens of thousands of South Africans have staged a one-day strike today in the important mining industry. They're protesting new tolls on public roads and short-term labor contracts. I'm Paul Brown, NPR News, Washington.